Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We lift you up this morning, Father. We praise your holy name, and we speak the name of Jesus over everything that is going on in this world today because we know that you are in control. We lift up Brother Cal this morning as he brings the word to us. Would you open our hearts, Father? Would you allow us to be changed and transformed by the words and the wisdom spoken to us today through Brother Cal? Be with him as he brings the sermon to us. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
I just got a text from a pastor brother of mine, and about 35 minutes ago, Pastor Willie Freeman went to be with Jesus, and I want to pray right now for him and his family, if we could. Many of you know Pastor Willie Freeman, pastored for years out at Greater Missionary Baptist Church, and he's been sick for a good while, but hallelujah, he's home. Father, we do lift up Brother Willie's family to you. I love that pastor, known him for years. And he's always never strayed to the left or the right. Now, God, his family is separated with this old enemy of ours, death. But, God, death is a defeated enemy because Jesus rose from the grave, never to die again. And so we believe, Brother Willie, Pastor Willie Freeman is with you today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. You've got a bigger, better plan than any of us can ever begin to imagine. That's why you're God and we're not. Thank you, Lord, for your great grace. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. We are in the fourth sermon of a series that I'm calling A Breakthrough in Holiness this morning. And we have learned and been reminded that holiness is the chief attribute of God. Every time someone is in the presence and they recognize that in the Bible, they're on their faces before God. And angels and all kinds of creatures are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And so, because He is holy, here's the bigger issue for us this morning. He expects us to be holy. Can I get a witness? Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, holy.
Holy.
Amen. Let's all stand as we honor the reading of God's word, if you can. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, now watch this, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for, and here's the key word, and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the suffering of our Lord is salvation. Dick Littleton, ask God to bless the word this morning, would you?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to have the opportunity to be here today. We pray for our country, Lord, what's going on, what we do know.
Yes, Father.
We pray, Lord, message that we're about to hear today and bless your message. Lord God, we just pray that as we leave your house today, that you come out of my soul ill, that others can come in contact with Christ and Jesus in us. And we pray this in his holy name. Amen.
Amen. I want to take a look at holiness from a little bit different perspective this morning, a little bit different aspect of holiness. Did you know that holy living, holy, dedicated, consecrated, set apart, sanctified living hastens the coming of Christ? I've read this passage of Scripture hundreds of times, and for whatever reason, I've missed this great truth. That holiness, as the child of God lives a holy life, it speeds up the process of the coming of Jesus Christ. Hello? So, y'all stay with me now. We're going somewhere today. Now, having said that, let me say this. Peter has been answering all the scoffers. How many of you know what a scoffer is? That's somebody who's a doubter, somebody who doesn't believe, somebody who thinks that, you know, likewise. And in Peter's day, there were people being real negative about the second coming of Christ. They'll say, well, I thought the Lord was coming back. It's been several dozen years. I mean, when's he coming? Has he forgotten his promise? Is he being tardy? Is he being slack? Can I just go ahead and tell you, there's nothing slack about our Savior. And then... Maybe he's not coming at all. And you know, there's a lot of folks like that today, isn't there? I thought Jesus was coming back. It's been 2,000 years. What's he waiting on? Is he really coming back? I want to tell you with a great big amen behind it, Jesus is coming again. Amen. Hallelujah. That is our expectation. That is our belief. He's coming again. And why has he waited so long? Well, verse 14 and verse 12 makes it real plain. It says, verse 14 says, the long suffering, the patience of our Lord is salvation. The reason Jesus has waited to come is because he wants everyone to be in relationship with him. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to be separated from him. He wants everyone to repent of their sin and by faith come to Jesus Christ. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell, separated from him forever. He doesn't want anybody to die in their sin and have to pay for their sin for all of humanity. That's why he hasn't come yet. He's in the business of saving souls. And by the way, let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Do you know that you know that you're born again, that you're a baptized, blood-washed believer? Yes. All right. Now, and furthermore, he says here, you know, God lives in the eternal now. I mean, he lives not just past, present, future, but he just lives in the eternal now. And with God, one day, just one day is like 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is one day. And so when you look at it from that perspective, Jesus has only been gone how many days? 2 days. 2 days. And I'm praying he comes today. Amen? And so this morning I want us to look at how this issue of holiness actually speeds up the coming, how it hastens the second coming of Christ. Are y'all with me? Okay. So here's, now we're going to look at several truths that back this up and help us to have a deeper, better understanding about how holy living hastens the second coming. Now, holy living, first of all, reveals that we can trust the Lord's promise. Now, watch this. Let me read verse 10 and verse 13 again, because I want you to get this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Wow. Now look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, Moses Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, Zephaniah, Zechariah, all talked about this day of the Lord, this great and mighty day of the Lord. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter and Paul, and Jude even, all prophesied about the second coming of Christ. And so when you're talking about the day of the Lord and the second coming, you're talking about the same really events, okay? Y'all with me so far? Did you know that there's over 1,800 prophecies in the Bible about the second coming, the return of Christ? Over 1,500 in the Old Testament, 300 in the New Testament. And by the way, 23 out of 27 New Testament books have a reference to the fact that Jesus is coming again. Amen. He's coming. We don't need to doubt that. We need to believe that. Amen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, here's the deal. Holy living reveals that we trust and believe in God's promises. God has promised us that He's coming. He's told us time and time again that He's coming back, that He's going to return, and we just need to simply believe Him. And the way we live says a lot about our behavior says a lot about our belief. You can write that one down. Now, I know you youngsters don't remember this, but back in the 70s and 80s, we had all these Bible conferences on prophecy. I mean, there was one going on somewhere every weekend. And you could go. They were close by. We had a bunch of them. But not today. They're rare. And so a lot of folks are ignorant about the study of end time events and the last days. I'm so thankful for a man like Billy Walker, our adult Sunday school and Bible study teacher, who's willing to teach and tackle eschatology. Yes. Yes. Jesus is coming again. Yes. And how we live points to the fact of what we believe. We trust in God's promises. He's coming again. Look, just tell somebody He's coming. And now ask them, are you ready? You better get ready. Hallelujah. Here's the second truth that I think the Word of God is teaching us. Holy living, it reveals not only that we can trust God's promises, but that we can trust God's plans. Verse 10 again. You see that phrase there, the day of the Lord? That's the description of the coming of the Lord by most of those Old Testament prophets. And that's what Simon Peter's doing here. He's quoting the Old Testament prophets. And the Old Testament prophets saw history and viewed history in terms of two ages, the present age that they were in and then the age to come. Now watch this. The transition that took place to get you from the present age into the age that was to come would come through the intervention of God by some cataclysmic events. And so this great and mighty day of the Lord that the Old Testament prophets is the same thing that the New Testament believers and the New Testament authors and writers talked about the coming of Christ. Now, let me say it like this. The second coming of Jesus Christ is a lot more than just the literal return of the Lord to the earth. It begins with the rapture, and it closes with the new heavens and the new earth. Billy's going to talk about that today. You don't want to miss Sunday school, adults, this morning. Don't pack up and hit the door. You need to know what's coming. I've made half of you mad already. Bless God. If you got an opportunity to hear prophecy, you got an opportunity to hear about end time events, take advantage of it. Hallelujah. And so the phrase that the day of the Lord is a phrase that refers to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ, specifically the second coming. And so he started talking about here, man, an unbelievable thing's going to happen. it's all going to burn up. The earth that we're living on, it's going to burn up. The heavens, it's going to roll up like a scroll and burn up. The elements are going to melt. I mean, everything is going to be destroyed and judged by fire. And for the most part, people will be unprepared and unaware that it's going to happen. That's why you need to be in Bible study. So you'll know what's coming. So you'll be prepared for what's coming. And so Peter says it'll be like an unexpected thief in the night. We don't ever expect to get robbed, do we? Especially late at night. Or maybe some of y'all do. I don't know. But our passage for the morning is talking about a future event that the Old Testament's prophesied about and the New Testament prophets predicted. And so, and when is this going to happen? When are the heavens and the earth going to burn up? When are the galaxies and the solar systems and the stars and the heavens, when is all that going to melt from intense heat? When is that going to happen? Well, I believe it's after most of those events that John talks about in the book of Revelation. I believe it's the next to last thing on God's prophetic calendar. I believe it'll happen after the great white throne judgment, which he taught on last Sunday. And just before God creates the new heavens and the new earth, which he's talking about this Sunday. In just a few minutes, am I right, Billy? I mean, that's what we're looking at, right? And so, let me say this: did y'all know that this is real relevant? Did y'all know there's enough atomic energy in a glass of water to run an ocean liner? Did y'all know that? As my father-in-law would say, Google it. Come on, CW. I've heard Google it a few times. Listen. We have discovered the power of the universe. It's in the atom. It's in atomic power. And one of these days, all of that atomic energy that's being stored is going to be released. And have mercy. Did y'all see yesterday those bombs, I don't even know what you call those bombs, but those were not atomic bombs. They were pretty powerful. So, I don't know exactly how everything's going to roll, but all of that atomic energy that's being stored, it's going to be released. And man, it is going to be devastating. God's going to judge this world with fire. And I kind of debated about whether to say this or not. I talked to Billy. You know, God's going to burn up the old creation and all the sinful works of humanity with it. It's going to burn, brothers and sisters. It's all going to burn up. Why? Well, here's the reason for it. When God made his first creation, he spoke, and out of absolutely nothing, the universe began to spring into existence. And after each day of creation, what did God say? It is good. And then when he got to old Adam, and Adam looked around, everybody else had a mate, but Adam, it was not good. But when sin entered into the human experience, when sin came into the Garden of Eden, what happened then? All of creation fell. And the Bible says that since that point in time, creation groans under the heavy weight of sin. And so God is going to judge all the wickedness and the evil and the sin and that creation is under. He's going to do that with fire. It's all going to burn up. And so like Billy said, you can't save the earth. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm like Forrest Gump. So my wife and I have some interesting conversations about that. But anyways, God's going to intervene just like he did in Adam's day. Hello? Just like He did in Noah's day. Just like He did in Sodom's day. God is going to intervene in human history. And all of this stuff that we see, it's all going to burn up under intense heat and pressure and all that. It's going to be gone. Poof. Now, holy living reveals to anyone and everyone that we're trusting God's promises and we're trusting God's plans. He knows what He's doing, brothers and sisters. He's got a plan and He's working that plan. And you know what blows me away? That tells me how much God loves me. He decided to go ahead in His foreknowledge and in His ultimate wisdom. God knew even though He was going to create us, we'd wind up in rebellion against Him. And He went ahead and created us anyway. And then He looked through heaven and guess what? He found a Savior who, in the person of His Son and put that salvation. Yeah, go ahead. Somebody go ahead and praise God for that. Kevin, I think we got too many Baptists up in here today. We've got 6 people clapping. When Jesus comes, you're going to do more than that, I promise you. Hallelujah. So we're looking for Him to come. And we trust in His promises. We trust in His plans. Which I've said all of that to say this today. Holy living reveals we can trust His principles. Let me read 11 again. Verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, since everything's going to burn up, since God's going to judge the earth and the heavens, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for, and what's that next word? And hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And then jump down to verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. As we talked about last week, all of us need to be living in light of the fact that Jesus is coming again. Remember what Adrian Rogers said, we ought to be living as if Jesus died yesterday, rose again this morning, and is coming again this afternoon. Hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we need to be living that way. We need to have an attitude of excitement and anticipation. We need to be fixed and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know when He's coming, but we ought to be ready. We ought to be ready for His coming. We got grandkids coming in, and my son's coming in this week, and you wouldn't believe what all she did yesterday at the house to get ready for their coming. I finally had to say, shut the vacuum cleaner off at 10 o'clock. I mean, she's preparing for the coming of our kids. And on a much larger scale, we need to be preparing for His coming. Come on, y'all with me now? We need to be preparing for His coming. And Peter says, our conduct should be of the highest quality. Now, if you're not looking for Jesus, best case scenario, you're going to wind up lukewarm or apathetic or indifferent. Worst case scenario, if you're not looking for Jesus, you're going to wind up backslidden. You don't want that. Because when Jesus comes, He's going to recognize those who are His. And He's not going to recognize. Matter of fact, He's going to say, those that He doesn't, get out of here, depart. I don't know who you are. So having said that, I want us to take a fresh look one more time at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Earlier in the year, we looked at this. Man, this is these two verses, powerful. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Thank God for the Bibles. I hear those pages. If you didn't bring a Bible, steal one. You need the Word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he talks about our minds. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And watch this, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've come here today to tell you, it is God's will that you live a holy life. It is God's will that you live a dedicated, consecrated, set apart, sanctified, holy life for His honor, praise, and glory. That's what God's will is. You don't have to walk around, what's God's will for my life? It's holy living. That's what it is. To glorify and honor and praise Him. The second question with the baptismal candidates was, are you going to live each and every day now for the glory and the praise of God? Yes. Hallelujah. There's one way that we ought to live, and it's for His honor. And His glory and His praise. That's God's will for us. Holy living. Somebody shout, holy living.
Holy living.
Hallelujah. And so that's an amazing principle this morning. And here's what I wanted to get to. Here's what I wanted to get to this morning. This is what grabbed me this back in December when I was planning out the preaching calendar. I never really parked on this there in verse 12 that says, looking for, I'm back in 2 Peter 3, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. The way we live our lives, if you're living a holy life, you got a part that's going to speed up the process of Jesus coming again. Look at your neighbor and say, wow. You got a part to play. And it involves holiness. Now, the more holy we are, the closer His coming is. One amen. I know, y'all. I've been saturating myself in this all week. But That's the amazing principle this morning. When we're living holy, dedicated, consecrated lives, it hastens or speeds up the return of Christ. Do y'all believe that?
Amen.
That's what the Word's talking about right here. That's what He's saying. Now, we're not going to go there, but you just have to trust me. You can look it up later. But according to Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 21, when the church is completed, the Lord will come. One of these days, the church is going to be complete. It'll be done. The last brick's going to be put in the building. The last soul's going to be saved, and it'll be done. And then what happens? The Lord will come. The Lord will come. The rapture will take place. Y'all with me? And so here's how this hastening process happens. The more people God saves, the closer the church is to being completed. And the more people God saves, the closer the church is to being done, to being complete, and the closer we are to His coming. You follow that line of thinking? The more we witness, the more people hear the gospel. And the more people hear the gospel, the more folks are going to be saved. And the more folks that are saved, the quicker the church is going to be made complete, and the quicker Christ is going to come. Is this coming in for you? All right? The holier we are, the more consecrated life that we're living, the more spotless and blameless and the more peace that we have with God. When we're living for Jesus, brothers and sisters, people will be drawn to Christ. Dick said it this morning, our lives are the only Bible people are going to read. And when they see Jesus in us, you know what the Holy Spirit begins to do? He begins to draw them to Christ. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. That's what the scripture says. And so the holier we are. You just don't know me, Brother Cal. I can't be holy. Well, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you've got the Holy Ghost, you can be holy.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you're called to that. And so the better my conduct, the holier I am, the more people see Jesus in me, the more people are drawn to Him, and the more people that are drawn to Him, the more people are going to be saved, and the more people that are going to be saved, the church is going to be completed, and then Christ is going to come. Y'all see the process now? We've got a part to play in this. Maybe the reason he hasn't come is because we haven't been living that way. I don't know, but I do know this. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everybody to come to him in repentance. Now, I'm having trouble landing this plane, and it's about time to land the plane. We should be giving God our very best. We should be giving God our very best. None of these leftovers. None of this half-hearted, half-committed, half-in, half-out, Sunday morning Christianity, that's garbage. That causes people to scatter. Everything we do ought to be gathering people to Jesus, right? Now, here's what I want to close with. If you've got a Bible, I want everybody to turn to Matthew 7. I've read this little verse of Scripture before. Now remember, what's God's will? What's God's will? I can't make that out. What's God's will? Holy living. Okay? That's what God's will is for your life and mine. Watch this. Look at Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But now watch this. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, Brother Cal, you've said 100 times that we're not saved by works. We're not. But if you're saved, you've got a salvation that works. And the top work that you do pleases God because it's holy, dedicated, consecrated, set apart living. Are y'all with me? And so that's what I mean. Only those who are doing the will of the Father, holy living. When he comes, I recognize her. Come on, Diana. Boom. I recognize Tad. There's Tad. Come on, Tad. I'm going to give you some new kidneys. Come on. And he's going to rise. And then he's going to start recognizing my... But folks, not every Baptist is going to heaven. And not every second miler is going to heaven. Some of you are here today and you may have your name on the roll. You may have even been baptized. But if God hadn't changed your life, if you don't want to please God and accomplish his will for your life, hello? I don't want God to have any problems recognizing me when he comes. And I'm not perfect. Man, I make mistakes. But I want to tell you, it is in my heart of hearts. I want to please the Lord. And so should you. So should all of us. Because that's his will. So, second mile. I think there's one thing we still need to do today. We need to prepare for his coming. We need to prepare for his coming. Let's let go of this mess of half in. Let that mess go. And let's get on board with what God expects and prepare for his coming. Father, here we are once again in need of your patience, in need of your forgiveness, in need of your direction. Whatever it is we need, God, I believe in these people. I love these folks that are here. And I know, Father, that you've got a plan and a purpose that's so much larger and bigger than we can even wrap our heads and heart around. But we have heard the truth this morning from the Scriptures. And God, if you were to come today, some of us are not ready. Some of us are, some of us are not. And so, God, prepare our hearts through repentance and faith. Help us, Lord, to be your people. Help us, God, to live in a way that others see Jesus in us. Because soon and very soon, the events that are going on in the Middle East reveal your coming is soon and very soon. Oh, God, do what only you can do this morning. If you're here today and you need to recommit the rest of your life to Christ, or maybe you're here and you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you just come and tell me, we'll get that taken care of. Or maybe you need help in a particular area of your life. You need a godly person to pray over you. Or maybe you're here and you know that you're lost. You know that you need salvation. You know that you need Jesus. I want to ask you to get up and come. We'll share the gospel with you. We're not going to make something hard out of it. It's going to be very simple for you. And so you need to come today. That's a good Bible word. It's all throughout the scriptures. Come, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you a come. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. Jesus says come. Father, this is your time. You do what you need to do during these next couple of minutes, Lord. Give our people the strength and the obedience and the willingness to just say yes and do what you're calling us to do. They don't need the preacher to tell them. They've got you. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In the quietness and stillness of this minute, before we rise, I want to tell you the war room is open, the prayer room's open, the altar's open. This is your time. This is your time to get these issues right with God. Do it today. Do it right now. Stand quietly and reverently to your feet.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.